secret chord that David played, and it pleased the Lord. But you don't really care for music, do ya? It goes like this: the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall, the major lift, the baffled king composing hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Took the name in vain. Well, I don't even know the name, but if I did, well, really, what's it to ya? There's a blaze of light in every word. It doesn't matter what you heard. The holy or the broken, hallelujah, hallelujah. Wasn't much. I couldn't feel, so I tried to touch. I told the truth, I didn't come to fool ya. And even though it all went wrong, I'll stand before the Lord of Song with nothing on my tongue but hallelujah.
Good morning, Unity family. Today's talk is called Mirror, Mirror. And as Britt mentioned, I recently listened to a podcast, and in it I heard this from the psychotherapist named Esther Perel. She said, "When you listen deeply to the experiences of others, you stand in front of your own mirror, and you transcend your aloneness. When you listen deeply to the experiences of others, you stand in front of your own mirror." Let's change this a little bit. When you read the experiences of others, you stand in front of your own mirror. When you read the Hebrew or Christian scriptures, you stand in front of your own mirror. This is the beauty of the Bible. Each of the stories, whether it's the Hebrew or Christian scriptures, tells us stories of others, and it's putting the mirror in front of ourselves. That is why Unity appeals to me like no other New Thought movement, because we use the Bible as our handbook. There is a good reason. There are stories in the Bible that remind us of who we are. The characters of the Bible have the same struggles and triumphs and the same emotions. This is us. This is our mirror. Now, before we go on, some of us, including me, have had trouble with the Bible. We've seen the Bible as a document of oppression. Many of us have had struggles with this historical book and question whether this is any type of guidebook for us. There are passages in the Bible that are darn right horrible, such as the condoning of slavery and the killing and smiting of others. And there are Bible literists who have used the Bible to oppress many people, including Native Americans and African Americans and the LGBTQ plus communities, to name a few. And so we might want to discount this Bible. But like all important documents in the history of man, there are flaws because it's created by man. You also realize just because you may not appreciate something, a whole culture does. And in fact, many of our laws that we do in our everyday lives are Bible-based. Many of the popular movies are Bible-based. Many of the most important movies are Bible-based. And some of the greatest music is Bible-based. It reminds me of one of the most influential spiritual teachers in my life, the Reverend Rusty Hesse. Rusty was an Episcopalian minister and was my minister when I was in that church. And he would always say, I want to know the Bible as well as anyone else, because when someone quotes any passage, I want to know the context and the meaning, because if I know that information, anyone who tries to use the Bible against me or anyone that I love, I will have a response. It's sad but true. Some people think they're carrying the flag to save people, but what they are doing is fostering the separation to the very God they want people to embrace. There's been much damage with this type of thinking, and it's such a blessing to have metaphysical Christianity. Are looking at the scriptures not in the literal sense, but in a metaphorical sense, or more accurately, in a metaphysical sense. What is the hidden meaning behind the scripture? What is the relevance in my life today? And how can I use this information to enhance my life? Now, with that context, let's go back to what I was saying before. The Bible can be used as a mirror. How often have we had a troubling moment and we pull out our Bibles and find an inspiring passage? Some pearl of wisdom comes out and you have a troubling moment. You say to yourself, this too shall pass. Well, this too shall pass comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 17 through 18, by the way. Many of the sayings and cultural understandings come from this ancient document. It's so ingrained in us, we're not even aware it comes from the Bible. Now, in the next 5 weeks, starting Thursday, I'll be doing the overview of Hebrew scripture. An overview is just that. They're mile markers along the way that help us look at this mirror. In short, we'll be discussing how the Hebrew scriptures are laid out. Where can we find the relevant passages? As metaphysical Bible students, we interpret the scripture. But first, we must find the scripture. And this course will be teaching you and giving you the map, and then you take that map and start your journey. So let's give some context, and I will give a life example as well. Let's say you're struggling with the separation, feeling separated from God. You may ask yourself, what character is in the Hebrew scriptures that might talk about that? Well, a good metaphysical student might say Adam and Eve. Okay, Adam and Eve are in Genesis. And I will tell you where that story is. And you might say, I'm not having much faith at the moment. What character represents faith? Well, Abraham. So let's go to Genesis 12 and let's start and look there. Maybe I need a change in my life and start anew, and we're exiled from our old life. Well, maybe Moses can tell us about that. Okay, where do we find Moses? Let's go to Exodus. You get the picture. The course is laying out the map. So when you ask yourself a question, what am I dealing with right now? A Bible character might come to mind, and that can serve as your mirror. And when you figure out that you're not alone anymore, that character has gone through the same thing and I'm going through right now, there's my mirror. There's my mirror. I'd like to give a more concrete example now from my life. I spoke last year about taking God out of the closet during my Pride talk. What I did not emphasize is the idea of exile. I think there are times in our lives where we feel God is not there, or we need to get away and start anew. What you will learn in my course is that the Hebrew scripture's main theme is exile. Think of exile from Eden, exile from Egypt, exile from Jerusalem back to Babylon. If the Hebrew scriptures tell you nothing else, in the journey of life, you have your exile moments. And the two prominent stories in the Hebrew scriptures, I think, are the Adam and Eve story and the Moses story, and both deal with exile. In the process of coming out, I mentioned how I put God in the closet. But how do I process my self-imposed or imposed exile from God? Well, self-imposed because for my own sanity's sake, I needed to figure things out and about my own authenticity. So I had to step away from the embrace of God at that moment. And the imposed because culture told me that I was a sinner because I was gay. It was time to look in the mirror. So what Bible stories can you think of that could cause, that could give me some insight into my own life? Well, one I gave away before, the Moses story, talking about exile. Two, story two that gave me insight is the Jonah story. And story three is the story of Ezra and Nehemiah. So let's go through these three stories and give a bit of metaphysical context that can inform you and I about these stories and how they're mirrors in our lives. So let's go to Exodus 2, verse 11 through 15 in the American Standard Version. And it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown up that he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens. And he saw an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked his this way and that way. And when he saw there was no man, he smote the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And he went out the second day, and behold, two men of Hebrews were striving together. And he said to them that did the wrong, "Wherefore smite thou thy fellow?" And he said, "Who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Thinkest thou to kill me as thou killest the Egyptian?" And Moses feared and said, "Surely the thing is known." Now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses, but Moses fled from the face of the Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian. Now Moses is a Jewish boy, but he's raised as an Egyptian. So think of it in a gay context. I was raised to be a heterosexual boy, but I'm a gay boy. What is a good mirror? Let's go on with the story. Dad Pharaoh did not like what Moses did. He killed an Egyptian. Moses was standing for his people. He needed to leave the nest to figure out his life. How many gay men, including me, leave the nest, leave their cities, leave the places they come from, and develop their own lives? Because family or society rejects them and they find places they can live. That's what Moses did. He went into exile. He went to Midian. He was free to create his own life, got his own land, had a very good life, was free to create his own alliances, created his own family. Sounds a lot like many in the gay community. You see how this is a mirror? Now let's go to Jonah. Jonah has a mission in his life. God tells him, "You're going to Nineveh." And Jonah says, "Hell no, not going there." How many of us had life purposes we have deferred because we were scared and did not want to do it, or had an aversion to part of it? There goes that mirror again. Here I was angry at God. I put God in the closet. Now I'm supposed to be a minister? Sounds far-fetched to me. But Jonah runs away from God, gets on a boat. And now when you run away from your purpose, how the universe shakes up your life. Jonah gets on a boat, goes in the exact opposite direction of where God wants him to go. The boat encounters a storm. The seamen are frightened, and they figure it is Jonah's fault. They throw him overboard. And so we go from to Jonah chapter 1, verses 14 through 17 in the American Standard Version. "Wherefore they cried unto Jonah and said, 'We beseech thee, O Jehovah, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Jehovah, hast done as it pleased thee.' So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared Jehovah exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice unto Jehovah and made vows. And Jehovah prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. When you finally come to the conclusion your life is so shaken up, you finally do the thing you fear. After Jonah is shaken up and in the belly of the great fish, he's reconciled onto his mission. He must do. My mirror is, after many years of being angry with God, I realized that I needed God, just like Jonah did. The journey is scary and without having a connection to source. My life journey had an ultimate purpose, being connected with God and encouraging others to realize they too are connected to God. And it's not scary. I found my happiness and my true purpose. I was fearful to say my truth that as a gay man, I deserve to live my life truthfully, authentically, standing up to the powers of oppression. Jonah spoke to the Ninevites, change your ways, and they did, just as the gay movement spoke its truth and changed this culture. The last story is the story of Ezra and Nehemiah. You can find these stories in the book of Ezra. But after the exile in Babylon, the Israelites are invited to return to Jerusalem, and Jerusalem stands for peace. You're only at peace when you return to wholeness. But some decide to stay after they developed a very comfortable life in Babylon, but others came back. And Ezra is the religious leader, and Nehemiah is the governor. And Nehemiah comes back first. Think of Nehemiah as the person building the foundation for a rebuilding of the city. We need a firm foundation before a temple can be built. We ourselves need a firm foundation in our belief system so we can find peace with our spiritual journey. Nehemiah creates the needed infrastructure. Now think of Ezra as the one that, once the infrastructure is built and the people come back, he's going to say, I'm going to tell you now how the modern Judaism is going to work for you in your new life and how it can improve your life. My mirror, after my exile, I found my Jerusalem, unity, and I needed the lessons and teachings so I could embrace my life and from that example, build my own infrastructure, and now I teach. You get the mirror here. So in summary, having an overview of Hebrew scriptures gives us the map so we can know what characters in the scriptures speak to us. We then can look at these characters and see the mirror they are placing in front of us. From there, we get insight in our own lives and how we can embrace our own life. And so it is. Amen. Leah, are we going? Okay. So get comfortable in whatever position feels right for this meditation time. And notice the waves going to the shore and back into the ocean and breathe. Create a mental imprint of this picture of the ocean as we go inside. Now close your eyes and let's go to your physical heart. And behind our physical heart is our sacred heart. And we notice a doorway. And we open the doorway and walk in. And we're back to the shore, noticing the waves. And as you inhale, see the waves coming towards you. And as you exhale, see the waves going back to the ocean. And continue for a few moments, paying attention to your breath. You inhale, the waves are coming towards you. And as you exhale, the waves are going back to the ocean. And you're relaxed with each inhale and with each exhale, becoming one with the waves. And as you're breathing, you notice a tap on your shoulder and a figure with a staff, with flowing white hair and a luminance around him beckons you. It's Moses. And you immediately follow Moses, who points to the path that leads to a mountain, the mountain of higher consciousness. And I continue to walk towards the path. You notice a sheet of red light, and you walk into this red light, infusing you with this light, which signifies safety. And you affirm, I am safe in this space, this path. You are safe to proceed to this higher consciousness. As you continue along this path, you see a sheet of yellow light. And as you walk into it, it infuses your body. And this light signifies balance. And you now affirm, I have balance in this path. I am taking. As you continue along, you see a sheet of yellow light. And as you walk into the light, it infuses your body. And this light signifies strength. And you affirm, I have strength in all my endeavors. And as you continue along this path, this sheet of green light, and as you walk into this light, infusing your whole body, this light signifies love and healing. And you affirm, I have all the love and healing necessary for my work in this world. And as you continue along this path, you see a sheet of blue light. And you walk into this light, infusing your body. And this signifies the power of your voice. And you affirm, I have the power to speak my truth, and the universe will follow my lead. And as you continue along this path, you see a sheet of violet light. And as you walk into this light, infusing your whole body with this light, signifies transformation. And you affirm, I am now transformed, knowing all these qualities are a part of me. And as you continue along this path, you see a sheet of white light. And as you walk into this light, infusing your whole body, this light signifies wholeness. And you affirm, I am whole. I am a holy child of God. And now you continue up the mountain, and you're getting up to the mountain, and you take off your physical body. And what you're left with is your pure spiritual, this white crystalline light, and you reach the top of the mountain, and you face the mirror, the veil of pure consciousness. Your light is one with this, and you merge with this light. This is pure love and the unified field. And you're grateful and you're one. Let's take a few moments of silence being in this unified field. Now it's time to come back and know this mountain is there for you always. Light separates from this unified field, and you start to descend down the mountain. You pick up your physical body and put it back on. And your physical body is transformed, more luminous now, in a higher vibration. And now you float back to the shore, and you're back to where you were in the beginning. You start to notice your physical body, and it awakens from its journey. And you start to move your body and come back to this time and this place. And so it is. Amen.